Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. I'm joined today by Tony Agonisi. I think I said that right.
Did I get it right, Tony?
You did. Every once in a while, I get one right. Anybody watching Facebook Live over in Reconcile to You is thinking, where is Allison now? This is my new dig. We gave up the office for my son. It's what mamas do. He was freezing in the basement, and, you know, mama guilt got to me. So I gave up my basement. I'm in my new little dig, so it's going to take me a little bit to get used to this. I just have a pretty blue wall behind me. I do have something pretty behind me. It's Jesus, but we don't be looking at my nose the whole time. So we'll have to move Jesus down, I think, or my chair up. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Tony, it is so wonderful to have you with me today. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because you are like so awesome.
Thank you. I've had somebody actually say I'm the guy version of Allison. So, I had another person tell me that the two of us should do a morning show on Catholic radio.
I think that's brilliant. Let's do that.
I can't get up that early though, so it might be tough. I'm just your average guy in love with Jesus and love to share my experiences with people. And I started blogging many years ago, back when blogging, when other than your mom and your best friend, nobody read them. But in 2012, I decided to start writing some short stories. I never fashioned myself as a writer. I mean, quite honestly, I was a C-minus student in college, and my first English class, the first paper I wrote came back, and it was all in red ink, and the professor put a big F at the top, and it said, "You'll never write above a fifth grade level." So that kind of discouraged me from writing. So I've always been a storyteller. I've always been, you know, I've been on the radio for years and so forth. I've always been a storyteller. So in 2012, I started writing short stories with a moral and a purpose and tying them to scripture. And I had a college professor, retired college professor friend that I used to see at daily mass. And I asked her, I said, "Would you read a few of my stories?" And she said, "Sure." And so she did. I asked, "What'd you think?" She said, "Oh, Tony, they're terrific. I love them." And I said, "Well, what's more important is what level do I write at?" And she said, "About sixth grade." So I'm up a grade.
You proved him wrong.
I'm up a grade from 40 years ago. So that's how it started. You know, I have two grandsons, Allison, and I want my grandsons to know that grandma and grandpa and great grandma and great grandpa were believers in Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus, that we were Catholics, and that we really, really valued the faith experiences we have. And so in my first book, A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life, I talk a little bit about my parents and how I came about to be the Joe Everyday who writes a blog and does podcasts and hosts radio shows and every now and then I get feedback. You know, I've been doing jail ministry for 15 years and ministry to the homeless for 15 years. I work with the Community Pregnancy Center here, the Embrace Clinic and Care Center. I do a lot of strategic planning for nonprofits for no charge. And I've written two books. I make no money from my books. All the proceeds from my books, all the profits from my books go to the charities that my wife Diane and I support. So it's it's not quite a hobby. It's not quite a profession, but I'm able to really help the ministries that I'm involved with the proceeds.
It's an apostolate. It is a ministry. And that's beautiful. That is so beautiful. So I want to just kind of back up and look at a couple of things. I think like the thing about your books and the stories that you tell is about faith in the everyday life. And I think that that message is so important because people don't think that they're meant to be holy. They don't think that they're meant to do anything special, that their life is no big deal. Like they're just, your ordinary average person doing their thing. But I think you show again and again in your storytelling that's where God is. That's where the most important part of your faith exists, is in that everyday, ordinary life. Can you explain a little bit about that?
You hit the nail right on the head, and that's why I love some of the stuff you write, too, because it's ordinary people, ordinary thoughts. You know, the Catholic Church has the deposit of faith. We have all of this deep knowledge of catechesis and so forth, and there are qualified people out there who are talking about these things. I'm not qualified to talk about those things, but oftentimes, the average person thinks they're not available to the Lord's grace because they don't know all of these things. And I'm just here to say that, you know, everything that I talk about in my books is available. For example, I mention a little prayer that I say every morning, and it's, Lord, make me an instrument. Put somebody in front of me today that I can help, or that you can help through me. Just use me. And you put your little antenna up, and the Lord speaks to you. He gives you these bumps and nudges. And if you act on them, you will find a life of predictable miracles. Now, not the miracles like parting the Red Sea kind of miracles. But, you know, did you ever get, Allison, a thought in your mind to call someone? Call Debbie. And what do most of us do when we get that thought in our mind? We just ignore it. What happens when you call Debbie? What's the first thing Debbie says when you call her?
Usually, I mean, I've had that a couple of times. So one time I called my mom out of the blue, and we're not the closest people, so I don't call her that often. And the minute she heard my voice, she started to cry, and she said, I was just sitting here praying and asking the Lord to send me someone. She was just having a really bad day. She felt really lonely, and there was my voice. And she's like, I was just praying and asked the Lord to send me someone. And I'm sure that's, you know, where you're going with that story, that
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. The first thing people said is, I was just thinking about you, or boy, your call comes at exactly the right time. I was having a bad day or whatever. There's a woman I used to work with. She's a 3-time cancer survivor. And she used to do a thing called the 3 o'clock call. Every day at 3 o'clock, she would drop everything she's doing. I don't care what she was doing. And she would call someone. And I said to her, Rena, don't you run out of people to call? And she said, never. There's always somebody in the hospital, somebody that's had a health scare. There's somebody that's having a difficult time with their marriage or their adult kid or their teenager or whatever. And that phone call oftentimes can be just the grace they need to keep moving forward. And in my second book, when we talk about A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, joy comes from grace. And grace comes from serving others. You know, our society is so me-centered. You know, I want to be happy. And how do I become happy? I increase my wealth, my power, my pleasure, my honors, and so forth. That's not what the Lord is asking us to do. If we put the Lord first and we serve Him, grace comes to us and fills us. You know, in John 15:11, it says, I tell you this, that my grace might be, or that my joy might be in you, and that your joy may be fulfilled, that you'll be full of joy. And that comes from serving others. So she does this little 3 o'clock call. So I tried it, and it really, really works. Now, I must admit that I have not been able to sustain it because my life goes in 40 different directions at the same time. But it is a wonderful thought to just say, you know, Lord, put somebody in front of me today that you can help through me. And it really, really works.
I have a kind of a funny story for that. When I turned 40, I wanted just this one thing for my birthday. I wanted to have one of those very fancy pedicures, the one where they massage your feet and you just kind of mellow, like just totally zone out and just, you know, that's all I wanted, quiet and this foot rub. That morning, though, I did that prayer that gets me into trouble all the time. The one, Lord, whatever, whoever you want me to be you to today, bring them to me. Careful with that prayer. Because the woman, so I I wear a Trinity cross, which is Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is depicted in the cross. So it's kind of unique and people are often drawn to it. So there I am getting ready for my nice pedicure. It's like my birthday. I'm all chilled and relaxed. And she notices the necklace. And we spend the next hour. I did get a longer foot massage because she was so distracted by talking. So I guess that was my birthday present from God back. But we ended up talking. She was a fallen away Catholic. She had all these misconceptions about the Catholic Church, the same ones that I had that led me away from the Catholic Church for so many years. I don't know what happened. I don't know whether she went back to the church. You know, we didn't really resolve anything in that moment. But I really love that prayer that you say, Tony, and opening yourself to be Jesus's voice. You know, is it Saint Teresa of Avila, Mother Teresa? You're like, no, I think it's Teresa of Avila. Like, God has no hands now but yours, no voice but yours. So to open yourself every day to that, that's pretty magnificent. And I can tell you from experience, God's pretty faithful in that. We have a couple of comments I just want to respond to. Julie is joining us. Hi, Julie. It's always nice to have you. And she says, Tony, you are amazing. I have to agree with her. Alana's with us. She said, I love that. Predictable miracles. What a great way of putting that. Predictable miracles. Lori's with us. And you're talking about what she calls, Lori's in my Bible studies with the Bible Babes. And they call those moments Allison moments, you know, when I call them Godsidence moments. They're cute. I love my Bible Babes. They make me feel good about myself. And Jamie is joining us as well. It's great to have all of you with us. If you have any questions for Tony at any point, please just type them in and I will make sure he gets them. I love that John 15:11. So his joy may be in you. I think that one
and
of
that
the things
joy might be complete, that his joy, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Boy, wouldn't it be great to have your joy be complete? Think about that. Think about how neat that would be. You know, we talked about predictable miracles, and a lot of times people ask me, say, Tony, miracles happen to you every day. How does that Well, they can happen to everyone. And part of it is what we define as a miracle. Albert Einstein said, we could either think of everything as a miracle or nothing is a miracle. I just choose to think of everything as a miracle. It reminds me of a story at Christmas time. A guy's driving through the mall trying to find a parking space so he can go into the Macy's or whatever, and there's no parking spaces. And after he drives around for 10 or 15 minutes, he says, God, if there is a God, if you're there, find me a parking space. And no sooner does he say that, but a parking space right in front of him opens up. And he looks up and he says, never mind, God, I found one. You see, God provided a miracle, but he wouldn't even accept it. You know, during the floods down in down south, when we had all the flooding, there was a story of a guy who the floods happened and a bus pulled up in front of his house. And he says, come on, we're evacuating. The water is rising. And the guy says, no, God is going to perform a miracle. And so 12 hours go by, and now the water is up to his windows, and a boat pulls up in front of his house, and it says, come on, get in the boat. We're evacuating. The water is rising. And he says, no, God is going to perform a miracle. And the next day, he's standing on the roof of his house, Allison, and the water is up to the roof line, and a helicopter flies over, and they drop down a line and say, grab the line and come up. We're evacuating. And he said, no, God is going to perform a miracle. And so a day later, he drowns and he dies. And he goes to heaven and he says, God, I was praying for a miracle. And God said, I sent a bus, I sent a boat, I sent a helicopter. You had a chance for three miracles and never accepted it. So we have to look at miracles. They're not these huge parting of the waves miracles. They're these little nudges and bumps. And what did you call them, Allison? Those little Allison moments, right?
Godsidences, little
Godsidences that just happen if we're open to them. So all we have to do is open ourselves to these, and they happen to everyone. They're nothing special about me. I'm not a very special person. Remember, C minus student in college. So
you know what, Tony? I have to think that I am the female Tony Agnese, because I tell that same story. I also told the other story you just told. I'm like, I tell both of those stories. So clearly I am you in the female form. That's fantastic.
I had an elderly friend, and he was in the hospital. This was right before Christmas. And I went to visit him, and he wasn't in his room. And I went to the nurse's station. They had no clue where he was at. And so I walked down the hallway, and there he was talking to a young man in the hallway whose mother was in the room, in the bed, and said to this young man, "Oh, no. Your mom's going to get a miracle tonight, and I'm going to get a miracle tonight. We're going to wake up, and we're going to have a miracle, and they're going to send us home, and there's no problems." And this guy had a need of a pacemaker, and he had some blockage in his neck that was blocking the blood flow going to his brain. And they said he needed a stent and a pacemaker, two stents and a pacemaker. And he said, "No, God is going to perform a miracle." And I said to him, "John, you know, a pacemaker is a miracle. Stents that will get the blood flow to your brain for somebody who's in his late 80s is a miracle. It just depends on how we define miracles." And there's a Baptist minister who was asked to speak up in Connecticut, and he said he would speak. And they said, "When you're done speaking, do you do a healing? Do you lay hands on people and heal them?" And he goes, "No, I don't do that. I just normally just speak." And "Would you mind doing it?" And he said, "No." So he goes, he makes his talk. He's a wonderful speaker. And at the end, about five or six people come up, and he lays hands and prays on them. Well, about a month later, he gets a call from a woman in his office, and she says, "You probably don't remember me, but I brought my husband up for your healing." And he said, "Oh, yes, I do remember you." Now, what's going through his mind is he was healed, right? And he said, "How is your husband?" And she said, "He's dead." He wasn't cured, but he was healed.
Oh, wow.
In the time that month since he laid hands on him, he reconciled with his brother, who he hadn't talked to in 10 years. He was a better person to be around. There was joy in his face. He spent some time with his grandkids. She said he wasn't cured, but he was healed. And oftentimes we forget that God heals. That could be a physical healing. It could be a spiritual healing. It could change your life in a different way. And so you have to understand that miracles are happening every single day. If we just open ourselves to them, "Lord, make me an instrument. Put somebody in my path today that you can help through me. Use my hands, use my voice. Let me speak for the unborn. Let me speak for the elderly. Let me speak for the homeless. Let me speak for those people in jail. And I will do it. I will make myself available to you."
That is so powerful. Miracles are how you define them. I mean, I just lost my dad about 2 months ago now. And it was part of, you know, obviously I prayed for his healing. He had his first heart attack at 34, a heart transplant at 55, and the miracle that he was with us 20 years later after the heart transplant. But it was watching his heart transplant to change from kind of a hard functional alcoholic kind of person to somebody who was loving and kind. And the miracle truly was watching him discover his faith and in the end, you know, give himself over to the Lord. He you know, wasn't really a big church going person, but to see that transformation. And I think that's a beautiful and important point, because so many people leave any faith because they feel like Jesus isn't listening. God, if God is so good, why am I sick? If God is so good, why did my child die? If God is so good, why do I not have work? We all think that because if we follow God, we're going to get some special treatment. I mean, that's kind of why I started. I was kind of hoping for the special treatment. And when it doesn't happen, when life continues on its normal trajectory, sometimes we have we turn to God in anger and instead of seeing the beauty in what he's done and looking for God in the moment as God intends him to be seen, not as we desire him to be seen. I think that's
Jesus' best friend Lazarus died, and Jesus is on the way there, and Mary goes out and says, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would be alive." And then as Jesus got closer to the house, Martha says to him, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would have been alive." And then the shortest verse in the Bible occurs next. Jesus wept. So Jesus, fully human and fully divine, wept, right? Jesus wept. Well, what happens is they go out to the tomb, and Jesus says to the disciples, "Roll the stone away." And they do. And Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus comes out of the tomb. And the next line is very important. He says, "Unwrap him, untie him, and set him free." Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, I was down in Florida and was sitting at the pool, and there was a woman next door. She was by herself. She was from New York. She was there alone. Her husband hadn't gotten there yet. And I struck up a conversation with her, and she said, "You know, Tony, this is the first time I've been out of New York, first time I've been out of my house since I lost my 22-year-old son to a heroin overdose." She was totally devastated by it. She said several times in our conversation, "If the Lord had only been there, my son would be alive." I shared that story with her, and I says, "How long has it been?" And she said, "6 months." And I said, "You've got to remember the rest of the story. That the Lord, when Lazarus came out, said, 'Unwrap him and set him free.' And that's what you need to do with your son. You need to release him from your loving arms to the loving arms of Jesus. You need to set him free and get on with your life." You see, the Lord gives us so much. We have to be able to be open to that beauty that you talked about, Allison, that goes beyond my definition of what is cured or what is healed.
Amen. We have a few beautiful comments from the women who have joined us today. As soon as my computer cooperates, I'd love to share them with you, Tony. What a great, Alana is saying, "What a great perspective of the gift of healing." I agree, Alana. Lori is sharing that she saw both of her parents reconcile with the Lord their last weeks, and it was wonderful to witness. Like, Lori's story is beautiful. Her parents both passed away within a year of each other, and both from cancer, if it's all right if I share that, Lori. But just her, you know, she got to witness her family, but we got to witness Lori with her family. And sometimes it's not just the person who's ill that you see these beautiful miracles, and you see God at work doing something miraculous and beautiful in their house, in their heart, which is your house. Lori already had a beautiful faith, but to watch what the Lord did with it as that progressed, as her parents got sicker, is quite beautiful. And I consider it a gift to be able to witness that. And I'm sure that you, you know, your stories are kind of your gift to us, because you witness these things, you see these things as story, you know, you see things happening, and you're able to then transform those experiences into stories that people can relate to, Tony. And I think that is such a gift. It's a gift for anyone who gets to hear you. And so now you have, we talked a little bit about your two books. I'd love, and I'm showing now underneath you that you go to tonyagnese.com and use the code FRIENDS. Is that what
friends
you said?
Use the code FRIENDS, get 20% off the entire order, free shipping, and I'll personally sign every book. Can I share a story with you? This goes back about 26, 28 years. I read in a church bulletin that the local pregnancy center needed infant formula, that they were totally out of infant formula and they needed some help. And I had done a speaking engagement and had a check. And I said to my wife, "I'm going to take this check and I'm going to go to the store." It was Kroger's at the time. I don't know if they still had Kroger's around. They don't anymore here. But I went to the store to buy infant formula. Now, my kids used Similac with iron. So that's what I knew. So, and it was in cans. It was liquid before they had the powder. Interesting sidebar. I'm drinking Gerber baby water. My grandson was here and I had a gallon left over. So it's pretty good. I went to the Kroger's and I said, "Do you have Similac?" And they had four cases of Similac. I had enough money for five, so I put the four in my basket and asked the stock boy if he'd go back and look, see if they had any more in the back. They didn't, but he came out with a case of Enfamil. And I didn't know what Enfamil was, but I said, okay, and I'll take that case. So I put that case in my cart, and I left, and I went to the little pregnancy center. It was located in a little house. And I pulled up to the back door, and there was an elderly volunteer. And she said, honey, can I help you? And I go, yeah, I have some infant formula. And she said, bring it in. So I carried in two cases of Similac into the back door. And I set it literally on this little kitchen table. And off to my right in the dining room, that was the executive director's office, who I had never met. And she's sitting there counseling a young woman. And she looked at me and smiled, and I smiled back. And then I went out, and I got two more cases of Similac, and I brought them in. And I sat him on the kitchen table, and she looked at me and smiled, and I smiled back. And then I went out and got the case of Enfamil. And as I walked in the door, she spotted it, immediately jumped up from her desk, came over to me and said, is that Enfamil? And I said, yes. She says, the woman I'm working with right now, her baby can only have Enfamil, and we don't have any. Would you carry it to her car? And I said, sure, I will. And as I left the back steps carrying it to my car, I heard the executive director say to the young woman, a miracle has happened. An angel has just dropped off some Enfamil. Now, Allison, I've been called all kinds of names. Angel is not one of them. That was 28 years ago. The director became a friend. And my wife has sat on the board of that pregnancy center for 10 years. And just recently, a year or so ago, they moved into a brand new beautiful facility. Last April, they added free ultrasound to their offerings. And we know that, you know, 80% of the women who see an ultrasound are not going to abort. They're going to have a baby. And I have been doing their strategic planning ever since for 28 years. And it was because of that simple gesture that she made and that fact that I could overhear her say, an angel just dropped it off. You see what happens if we open ourselves up to God's grace? Those things happen. That changed my whole life. That became a ministry that I've been involved with for all these years now. The same thing holds true for, you know, the homeless. I've been working with the homeless for a long time. And to be able to go out and work with them, I'll share an important story. I'm a cancer survivor. I 14 years ago, January 7th, 14 years ago. And I'm also a survivor of hepatitis C. Now, that is considered the disease of the drug user, bad needles and so forth. Now, a lot of us that are in my age bracket got it back years ago with bad blood transfusions, or we were playing Kemosabe and Tonto with our blood brothers, or we got nicked by a barber from a bad, from an infected razor or whatever. But I had hepatitis C. And I went to the best doctor in the area, and they did some gene testing, and my gene type was the one that reacted worst to the treatment. It was a year of chemotherapy and so forth, and it only had about a 20% chance of success. And so I said, what do you think I should do? And he said, let's wait. There's some new drugs that may be on the horizon. In 2015, a new drug came out called Harvoni. You may have seen it advertised on television.
Yeah.
And it was done from my gene type. And it was 99.8% effective, a cure rate of over 99%. And so through my insurance company, I applied for Harvoni and was turned down immediately. I applied for it a second time and was turned down. The nurses and the women in the doctor's office took an interest, and they resubmitted. I did retesting, and they submitted it a third time, and it was turned down. And then finally, one of the women in that office said, I'm going to see this through. And she did some additional testing and things, and she sent it off. And on January 2nd of 2016, I got a notice that the insurance company would cover 80% of the cost of my Harvoni. Harvoni, by the way, is $93,000. It's a pill a day for 12 weeks, $93,000. So I was still on the hook for $18,000. And that same woman from the doctor's office called me and said, I want you to call the manufacturer. They're running a test right now and they may cover some costs. I called. I met their criteria. All I had to do was let them use my information without my name. And they paid everything except $38.
Wow.
So I had a $93,000 treatment. At the end of March, I had blood work and the hepatitis C was gone. And they wait 3 more months until June and they do it again, right? And if the blood work is clear, then you're considered cured. I went to this doctor's office. They put you in the little room. I sat there for 15 or 20 minutes waiting for him to come in, praying the rosary. And he finally walked in. He wasn't much of a bedside manner doctor, by the way. He leaned up against the counter and he said, Tony, you're busy. I'm busy. You're cured. And he left. And I sat there finishing my rosary in tears, and I got in the car and drove back to my office. And as I approached the street where I turned to go to my office, there was a drugstore in front of me. And there was an elderly black man, looked homeless, sitting, leaned up against the building. And I got one of those bumps, one of those nudges from our Lord to go talk with him. And so I pulled off the road and into the drugstore. I went up to the man and said, are you okay? And he said, no. I have a prescription for a heart medicine that's keeping me alive. I don't have the money. I don't have family or anyone to pay for it. I've been sitting here begging for money and no one has helped me. I said, do you have the prescription with you? And he said, yes, I do. And he showed it to me and I helped him to his feet. And I took him inside and I paid for his prescription. It was $38, the exact same amount that my $93,000 worth of treatment helped me. I got $93,000 cure for $38. And here was a homeless man, for want of a job or insurance. He had no job. He had no insurance. He had no means. He had no money. And for $38, his life was in jeopardy. And the Lord not only gave me a cure, but taught me a lesson that there are people that need help and that they need a voice for them. And that's what I've done since.
I could listen to your stories all day long, Tony. You have amazing stories because you have an amazing eye to see the world through God's lens. And we are so blessed by your yes to God and your sharing that. So tell us again about your book so people can go check it out.
There are two books out on that. The first one is called A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life. There are 73 short stories, reflections. They each are tied to scripture. They each have some questions at the end that you can ask yourself and reflect on. I've had guys tell me it's a great bathroom book. You know, you read one story. That's okay, however they want to do it. I have women that are using it in their prayer group. You know, they'll read a couple of stories and they'll talk about them. I have a couple of men's groups that are using the book that I've actually been invited to, and it's been wonderful because some of their stories are way better than mine. And so that book is called A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life. The follow-up is called A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Your Misery into Ministry. Did you ever notice the people raising money for an autistic child have an autistic child, or the woman visiting a cancer patient in the hospital's a cancer survivor, or the man giving a homeless man a pair of boots on the bridge was once homeless himself, or the family that brings a meal to a needy family at Christmas time had that happen to them? What they've done is they've taken their misery and they've allowed our Lord to turn it into a ministry, into a mission. And that's what the second book is about. Both of the books are available on my website, tonyagnese.com. They're available everywhere, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But on my website, if you go there, go to the checkout and buy one, both, buy 1,000 of them, buy them all for your group. But you put in the code FRIENDS, FRIENDS, it'll take 20% off, free shipping, and I'll sign every book.
That is wonderful. You made me think of when you're saying that St. Paul writes, whatever, it's in Corinthians someplace, because I'm Catholic, so I don't know the exact location of scripture, but I know it's in there. It says, whatever you have been comforted in, God will use you to comfort others in. So it's very scriptural that whatever you've encountered, whatever's touched your heart and your life in a very profound way, most often, once you get to the other side of it, it's like that, you know, blessing backwards or paying it forward or however you want to look at it. And I think I thoroughly enjoyed that book very much, and both of the books very much, but the joyful service was really just touched my heart, because I feel like, you know, everybody has a place in their life where they know they could do better. And I know that ministry is a service, and I probably should give it more credit, but I know there's always more that I can do. And I was really inspired by the stories, because then you start to see, well, these are all different ways that I can serve, that the Lord may put that God nudge in my heart to serve. Just a couple more comments from our, I almost said our peanut gallery. I don't think they'd like me to talk about our peanut gallery. Let's see. Elizabeth said the story was so beautiful. I agree. Lori added that medical story is a perfect example of how we can see a miracle or see a coincidence depending on our faith. That's so perfect. Yes, Lori. Some people just see like, oh, isn't that, you know, that's just a coincidence, or that's medicine. That's how medicine's supposed to work. But we all know through the lens of God's eyes that it's him at work. It's a God sentence. It's a God moment. Alana, at the end of your story, was crying. I was biting my cheek not to. Stay professional. It's beautiful. Elizabeth said, definitely agree with Lori. I worked at Tufts Health Plan when I got sick, and my $134,000 bill was fully covered. So blessed. Elizabeth is a cancer survivor as well. They were prepared to sell their house, and the Lord took care of them. And Elizabeth went on to say that she loves those stories. And it looks like my friend Cindy found 2 Corinthians 1:3, which is what I was talking about. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are afflicted with the consolation with which we ourselves were consoled by God. So the Allison Abridged version is, whatever you're confident in, you're going to go and comfort others. Cindy, thank you so much for finding me.
It's the been there, done that kind of thing. You know, the person that has been through cancer is the best person to help a person. You know, I have some friends here at the radio station. She is a widow, maybe 15 years, and he lost his wife about 5 years ago. And when his wife was going through all of the difficulties after he lost her, I said, you know, you ought to talk to this woman on the staff. She's been through that with her husband. She might be able to help you. And today they're happily married 5 years later. Both of them having lost a spouse to cancer. And you see, it happens. It happens that way if we're open to it, and we allow the Lord to nudge us and bump us, and we act on them. I don't believe in coincidence. I don't think there are any coincidences. I think everything is an act of the Lord's will, and that if we go with that, we're never going to go wrong. I think we understand that the misery that we go through when we come out the other side, that we have this ability to help others because we've been there and done that.
Yeah. I have to give a little shout out today. My beloved spiritual director of over 10 years, Deacon Jerry Ryan, passed away this weekend. And I really credit this beautiful man with helping me see the difference between coincidence and God-sidence, with helping me believe that God reaches from heaven. And, you know, I have this crazy thing of seeing butterflies and purple roses and these signs from heaven. And people may think I'm crazy, and I kind of am. But Deacon Jerry really helped me see that the God who loves you so much to create you wouldn't just disappear this whole time you're on the earth waiting for, you know, you to die to be with you again. Of course, he's going to make himself known in the nature he created, and then the people he created, and of course, in the circumstances of our life. He is in everything. And I think that's the gift of faith. I mean, faith is a gift. And when we can start to see him, that's us using that gift in the most beautiful and profound way.
Wonderful, wonderful. I share one little thing. This morning, as I was taking my 9 pills I take in the morning, you know, when you get old, you have to take Better Living Through Chemistry or whatever. As I'm taking my pills, I looked out of the kitchen window, and I swear, a squirrel looked at me and smiled. And I said, my goodness, that says that it's going to be fun with Allison today, because that was very much like that squirrel right there. And he smiled at me. And I said, that's a sign. You see, that's a God coincidence that I see a squirrel as I'm getting ready to come in and do your show.
Well, I'm glad that the little squirrel came to bring you good news, bring you tidings of good joy, of glad tidings. You know, Tony, it's been just a blessing to have you. I'm excited. Actually, before we go, we have to talk about your show because, well, I get to be on it. So you have a new radio show called The Storytellers. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, I'm going to say something that might be controversial to some people, but most of Catholic radio are the same people interviewing the same people. And it's a very small group of people. And what I've found over all the years of blogging and podcasting in the Catholic universe, that there are some wonderful people with fabulous stories, mostly lay people with fabulous stories that have no access to doing that. So I decided I wanted to do a show to showcase these people that have these unbelievably wonderful stories. And so that's what we've done. We put together a show called The Storytellers. It's on the Living Bread Radio Network. There are other stations that have been picking it up as we get going here. It's available at thestorytellersradio.com, thestorytellersradio.com. It's on iTunes and it's on Google Play and it's on Stitcher and it's on YouTube and so forth. And it's also on Breadbox Media. We're Breadbox pals from Breadbox Media. And you can listen to the show there as well. And you're going to be my guest on the 26th of February. Now, how do I know that? Is we've already recorded the show and it's all set in the queue. As a matter of fact, I just tweaked a few things on the show this morning before we came on.
On the 26th
of February, I'll be promoting it like crazy.
Okay, that's exciting.
Talking about your new devotional, which is a wonderful wonderful book, and we're going to talk a little bit about that on the 26th.
The Gift of Invitation, Stay Connected Journals. I'm excited. My next one is due in 3 days, so if you could keep me in your prayers, because it may not be quite ready or even started yet, but hey.
Well, my next one's not due till May, and it's called A Storyteller's Guide to Servant Leadership. So that'll be out. It's done. Well, it's being edited now. So,
well, I look forward to that. Mine's supposed to come out May 21st. I'm not. So it's my dad's birthday, May 25th. So that's what I'm shooting for. But God's timing, not mine. Is there anything I've learned in the last few years of serving God is that I am not in control, which is painful for me. But
That's for sure. I know that for sure. But I'm not in control at all.
Well, Tony Agnese, it has been an absolute pleasure and joy to spend this time with you. I hope you come back again and spend some time telling us stories.
I'd love to. You know, I've been accused of being a mommy blogger for 10 years now. So it's nice to be in with you. And I really do feel that, you know, I'm the boy version of Allison. So we kind of come from the same slightly weird, but kind of interesting perspective.
The Mutual Admiration Society. And we got to meet very briefly at the Catholic Marketing Network over the summer. But unfortunately, I was there working for them and just didn't get the chance to spend time with you, regretfully. Next time, owe you a coffee.
I did get a hug, though, so that was good.
That's all that really matters. And anyone who knows me knows I'm not a hugger, so that's kind of special.
I'm a hugger. I hug everything. Women, men, kids, dogs, trees. I'm a hugger. I'm a born hugger. It's part of my. And you know, hugging is really good for your mental health. It really, really is good for your mental health. We need 4 or 5 hugs a day just to keep going.
Well, then I probably should up my quota there. Tony, we always end the show with a prayer. Would you like to offer that prayer for us today?
Sure, sure.
That'd be great. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time with Allison. I have so looked forward to spending some time with her. And to the wonderful people who have tuned in or will tune in via Breadbox, to those people, I hope that some of the things we discussed today will touch off in your minds, your own stories. We all have stories of love and God's grace. And to share those stories, do not be afraid to share those stories with others. Lord, you have blessed us with your presence today. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, that was beautiful, Tony. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Tony Agnese, and I actually said his name right. Woohoo! that's a big day for me. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Oh my goodness, I can say my own name right. I'll try that again. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Redbox Media. God bless.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.